and from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 27th day of July, 2018. And I am so thrilled to have back for the second time on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Morris Roberts. He is, or was, I should say, the editor of the Banner of Truth magazine from 1988 to 2003. He is the author of The Thought of God, The Christian's High Calling, Great God of Wonders, and Can We Know God? He was the moderator of the Free Church of Scotland Continuing's General Assembly in 2007, and he is a lecturer in Greek and New Testament at the Free Church Seminary since 2002. Today we are addressing his book, Finding Peace with God, Justification Explained. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Morris Roberts.
Thank you, sir. My privilege to be here this evening.
Oh, it's the pleasure is all mine, and I'm sure my listeners as well, brother. And I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, that we started the program a little late, but for some reason I had a problem connecting with the UK on the phone, but we were eventually successful, and we thank God for that.
Yes.
What I'd like to do, Morris, is have you basically define two very important words that we have in this theme today that is also the title of your book, Finding Peace with God, Justification Explained. First of all, I'd like you to define what it means to have peace with God, because no doubt there are many people who are unregenerate, who are tragically lost and heading for hell, who think they have peace with God just because of the way they feel. They may feel very comfortable and happy entering into the doors of a church, and they may enjoy singing hymns to God, and they may feel perfectly fine talking about God, hearing about God, and they think they have peace with God. But I know that that is not what you're talking about.
No. Being at peace with God must be defined correctly, otherwise it's worth nothing. And the definition we must give of being at peace with God must be based on the teaching of the Bible, which is the inspired word of God, which he has given to us to teach us how we may come into a right relationship with himself, with God. So to be at peace with God is nothing to do with how we may feel in and of itself. It is based upon the teaching which the Bible gives us, and I quickly say two things. First, the Bible makes it very clear that all men and women are born sinners. From our mother's womb, God judges us to be sinners. That is to say, we are regarded as being unworthy to enter into heaven. So, to be right with God and to have peace with God means that that problem is solved. And that the great issue is, how can we have that position and problem solved? How can we be right with God? So that really is the substance of it, not what we feel or what we think about ourselves. It's not our own ideas. It's we must go to the Bible, which is the inspired word of God, and there God tells us what we need in order to be at peace with God.
Now, one might think, and I believe that this would be correct, that the opposite of peace is war. If you are not at peace with someone, I believe that the opposite of that would mean you are an enemy of someone and or that particular individual. Does not having peace with God imply that we are indeed at war with God and that he is our enemy?
It does, though many people do not realize that until they come to the experience of becoming at peace with God through faith in Christ. The truth of the matter is, as the Bible tells us, that by nature, all mankind hates God and tries to escape from God. And they invent all sorts of pseudo-scientific theories to try to explain how we can escape from God. One of them is, of course, atheism, that there is no such thing as God, so we don't need to worry about it. But the important thing is we must get right with God, because if we're not right with God and at peace with God, then we can be absolutely certain we shall never enter into heaven. And even during this life, we must understand that God is angry with us all the time. His wrath or anger will, sooner or later, bring us down to eternal punishment if, in this life, we do not get right with God in the way the Bible teaches us to get right with God.
Amen. And now, the other word that is used in different ways, depending upon what situation or context a person is speaking about or writing about justification, but what is the specific meaning of the term justification that you are specifically speaking about in this very important booklet, Finding Peace with God, Justification Explained?
Yes, the word justification is a biblical word, an extremely important word, and it means believing in the Lord Jesus Christ so that the righteousness of Christ is given to us as a gift from God. We can't earn it, we can't pay for it, we can't buy it, we can't merit it, but God has laid down this as the rule. To get right with God, we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the Son of God, and as soon as we do put our faith in Christ, God promises he will immediately forgive all our sins, and he will reckon the righteousness of Christ to us as a free gift, so that in this life God is no longer angry with us. He is now our Heavenly Father. And when we die as believers in Christ, we shall most certainly go to heaven and to glory forever.
Amen. And there have been, as you know, obviously you have ministered with the wonderful ministry Banner of Truth that has been such a blessing, a tremendous gift from God to the body of Christ for so long. So, of course, ministering with a publishing ministry, that you know full well that there are many books, large and small, some even massive, on the topic of justification. Why is it that you felt a need for a new volume that people can have access to, both believers and unbelievers alike?
That's a very good question. There are excellent books on justification, certainly, such as, for instance, William Cunningham's Historical Theology. R.C. Sproul has a book on faith alone. Philip Eveson has an excellent good one on The Great Exchange, and there are many others. John Owen, the Puritan, has a wonderful book on the doctrine of justification by faith. These and other books are very, very excellent. Why, then, is there the need for me to write a little book today? Well, if I may explain, two things. First of all, it's my longing to see the man in the street, if I can call him that, saved by the blood of Christ. And if I may respectfully say so, the average person today is not likely to read a big, thick book written by the Puritans. What a pity they don't. They would be much benefited by doing so. But today, people are not great readers. So I wrote this little book of about 30 to 35 pages, very simple, very clear, and trying to make it as simple, clear, and obvious to the modern reader as possible, so that not only the academics and the university people would be interested and get the benefit, but that the man in the street, so to say, would also get the benefit and come to that faith in Christ whereby he should know peace with God in time and in eternity to come.
Amen. Well, this, even though this book is brief, it has contained within it a lot of very essential and core issues regarding the subject of justification. And I'd like you to start with, even though we already gave a background, or should I say you did, in regard to the fact that we are indeed enemies of God until we are justified by him freely by his grace. You have the first chapter of the booklet explains our relationship to God as a very necessary theme within this very important subject. And even though you may be a little bit repetitive here, because we've already said some things in the beginning of the program about this, why don't you continue with a little more of an elaboration about what you have provided about our relationship to God in the booklet?
Certainly. Well, our relationship with God is the most important thing in life. There's nothing more important than our relationship with God. And sadly, the educational system very often, not always, sometimes it does, but very seldom these days in our country of Britain, very seldom emphasizes the importance of this right relationship with God. And because people are very fond of this world and the pleasures of this world, they often do not sit down and think, what do I need to make sure I am in the right relationship with God? So, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, came into the world to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And that is to say, we need, therefore, to get into the position in which we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. And as we come to the Bible and study the Bible, we realize why it is that Jesus Christ did come into the world. It is because God in his love sent him into the world to take a human nature and to live for sinners like us and to die for sinners like us. And he suffered upon the cross in order to pay the penalty for the sins which we have committed. And our relationship with God, therefore, is extremely important. And our duty is to seek God with all our heart. And the promise of God is if we seek God with all our heart, then we shall find Christ as our Savior. And if we do not find Christ as our Savior in this life, it's too late. Once we die, our soul goes to the place of punishment and certainly not to the place of eternal life. So our relationship with God is all important, and we must make it a matter of concern, each one of us, to be assured that we are in that right relationship with God through Christ.
And not to derail the main theme here, but when you just said that once a person dies, if they are lost, they will go to the place of punishment, I believe you would teach and believe yourself that when a person dies, although they will be in the presence of Christ if they are saved immediately, or they will be in a place of punishment immediately if they are lost, or if they are reprobate or not a Christian, if they're not regenerate, they will go to this place of punishment. But at the same time, these are not the ultimate places where they either of these individuals will wind up. But is there not a more glorious eternity with Christ even awaiting them after that initial experience of being present with Christ after death? And then isn't there even a more horrific place awaiting them after they die if they do not have the covering of Christ's blood?
That is true. The way to look at it is this. Between death and the end of the world, which we can call the judgment day, in that period we refer to that as the intermediate state. That's between when a person dies and when he or she appears before Christ in the day of judgment at the end of time. That's the intermediate state. Now, when a believer dies, his soul immediately goes to glory, his body into the grave, until Christ returns for the judgment day. At that point, Christ raises the dead body and reunites it with the soul, because the soul has been in glory for those days, weeks, or years. And when the body and soul are reunited, after the judgment, Christ will take all believing people into the ultimate state of glory. That will be the most perfect state imaginable, full of glory, reward, and blessing forever with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's now the condition of the believer. But the condition of the unbeliever, sadly, is this. When the unbeliever dies, his soul immediately goes into eternal punishment in what we call the intermediate state of that punishment, between death and judgment. His body, meantime, is in the grave. When Christ returns at the end of the world on a day of judgment, Christ will raise the bodies of the dead who are unbelievers and reunite their bodies and souls, and after the judgment being passed upon them, they, body and soul, will be cast into eternal punishment, which is fire and darkness forever. A very terrible condition indeed.
Well, that leads us to our need of justification if we do not want to spend our eternity in that horrific place of punishment. We need justification. And once again, if you could explain in more detail than what you said at the very beginning of the program, this is a very important issue that divides true and false Christianity, as you, yeah, I'm sure, agree. This is the, yeah, primary issue that sparked the Protestant Reformation. It's the primary issue that separates the Church of Rome from Reformational Protestantism, and we would also add to that, more importantly, it separates Rome from biblical Christianity. And not only Rome, but there are a whole host of organizations and churches that would claim to be Christian that also deny what we would call justification by faith alone and forensic justification. So if you could, please go through an explanation of, first of all, what is forensic justification?
Well, we would define it like this. It is God imputes the righteousness of Christ to the sinner who believes in Christ as Savior. And the moment that righteousness is imputed by God to the sinner, immediately the sinner's sins are immediately all forgiven. Now, that doesn't mean to say the sinner has no more sin in his nature. He does, until he goes to heaven at last after death. But the imputation of guilt to the sinner is now removed. So God looks upon that sinner as having a condition of legal or forensic righteousness. That is to say, God no longer imputes to him the sins that he has done or the sins that he will do in this life, but God forgives them all. And the reason why God can do that is because when we are justified by faith in Christ, as soon as we believe in Christ, God imputes to us the whole righteousness of Christ. And that consists of two things. First of all, it means all our sins as sinners are forgiven immediately, and the righteousness which Christ has achieved by his perfect life and perfect death, these are imputed to and reckoned to the sinner. So we are then forensically justified, and that means we are right with God immediately as soon as we believe in Christ. And when we die, as we said earlier, soul goes to glory and awaits the resurrection from the dead.
Amen. And one of the things that you mentioned earlier about Jesus Christ being our one and only Savior, and that we must trust in him alone as our one and only Savior, unless someone gets the false idea that they can say, well, Jesus is the only God I worship, and he is the only one that I trust. I don't pray to false gods. I don't have any false deities. I believe in Jesus alone. But they may, unconsciously, they would probably never say that they are viewing themselves as a savior alongside of Christ. They may not say that they view Mary and the saints alongside of Christ as saviors. They may not put it in those words, but we have very clearly examples of those who are misguided and have a false gospel, who believe either that they themselves are helping to save themselves in some way, or they are even not only including themselves, they are also including the mother of Jesus, the saints, and other Christians who are now in eternity with Christ. They are thinking that this treasury of merits provided by the wonderful lives of these humans that are now in heaven, they think that these people have somehow helped Christ to attain salvation for them. But this is really a very wicked and damnable way of thinking, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. The great necessity is we must define justification as the Bible teaches it and in no other way. And to put it very simply, it is this. The Bible teaches a sinner is justified by faith alone, in Christ alone. Nothing must in any way be added to our concept of how to receive that justification. It's by faith alone, in Christ alone. And sadly, during the Middle Ages, for a long time, this doctrine was spoiled by adding things to faith as necessary for justification. So it was the terrible mistake of the Middle Ages to think that we can teach a sinner that he can be justified if he venerates a saint as well as lives a pious life and spends time in prayer and fasting in a monastery or something like that. And we're therefore, in doing that, we're adding our own good works, as we call them. Not that they are good works, but we're adding what we think are good works to faith alone in Christ. But the biblical teaching is very, very simple. Paul puts it like this: by grace are you saved by faith, not of our own good works. He puts it again like this. He says, we are justified by faith in Christ and have peace with God. And it's purely and simply by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace are you saved by faith alone. So the great emphasis we must make is we are not going to be justified until and unless we cast aside all thought of our own goodness and our own merit or anything of that sort. Faith alone, in Christ alone, that is the formula God gives us in the Bible and the only way whereby the sinner can become at peace with God.
Amen. And we have a listener in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, named Michael, and he asked, do you think the recent attempts to rethink this doctrine is due to not looking to the Reformed confessions? All the standards are clear on the matter. Could it be that if there is something we are contributing to justification, it becomes more palatable?
That's very true. It does. Human nature would love to make a contribution to its own salvation. It's very flattering to think that if I want salvation, I can believe in Christ, but in addition to that, I can add my own good works to it, my prayers and my almsgiving and my veneration of the saints and so on. But that's a tremendous mistake. If we think of adding any merit of our own to what Christ has done, we are detracting from the perfect merit of Jesus' work. When Jesus died, he said, it is finished, meaning our salvation is perfectly achieved by his life and by his death, and therefore we must understand what the apostles teach is, by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So to put it simply again, we must by all means receive the gospel without any thought of trying to add to Christ any good works or merit of our own.
Amen. Well, thank you, Michael, in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. You have won a free copy of the book that we are discussing right now with Morris Roberts, Finding Peace with God, Justification Explained. Compliments of the publishers, Banner of Truth, and also compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, who will be mailing it out to you at no charge to you or to us. So make sure we have your full mailing address there in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Thank you very much for joining us on the program with an excellent question. Again, going back to what we were discussing, imputed righteousness, the Church of Rome would say that the righteousness that we receive from Christ is infused in us, that we are actually innately made worthy of heaven, rather than it being based on the sole merits and righteousness of Christ. And they would even go further, unless you are one of those rare individuals in the Church of Rome, that the Church of Rome would believe to be sinless on this earth before they depart from this earth. Most people, the vast majority of people in their thinking, go to a place called purgatory, because Christ's death did not fully cleanse the saved person from their sins. They have to be punished themselves for a period that is unknown to them. The Roman Catholic Church never fully explains this as far as the length of time a person will remain in purgatory. But this is also a mockery of the cross of Christ, isn't it?
It certainly is a great distortion of what Christ teaches, and it is very harmful and dangerous to those who are taught these wrong ideas, because if people don't know the true doctrine of justification, of course, the terrible consequences may be eternal punishment because they haven't gone about seeking Christ in the right way. So we must make it very clear, when we are defining the doctrine of justification, we must do so only by going to the Word of God. And the teaching of the Word of God, put simply, is we are saved and justified only by putting our faith in Jesus Christ and trusting him as the Savior who lived for us and died for us.
Morris, are you there? Well, we're going to go to our official break right now, and hopefully when we return, Morris will be back on the line with us. Our email address, if you'd like to join us, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Morris Roberts and more of our discussion on justification.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families,
yeah, I'm not
couples,
sure either,
singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please remember to keep Mike Gadosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, in your prayers, as he is going to be undergoing very serious, very complicated, and very delicate open heart surgery. There are decisions that need to be made as far as what surgeon is going to do this and where, what state and what hospital this is going to be performed in. So please, not only pray for a successful surgery that enables Mike to live out the remainder of his life, which hopefully will include many, many years, as a very strong and healthy individual, but that also he would grow spiritually as a result of this trial, and that he would even be a better ambassador for Christ as a result of this experience. But please keep him in prayer. He is very important to me as a friend and mentor, and to many others as well. And don't forget to patronize Solid Ground Christian Books as often as you can at solid-ground-books.com. Well, I believe we have Morris Roberts back on the line, correct?
Yes, I'm here again. Thank you.
Well, before we got cut off, we were talking about the heresy of purgatory and how this is a mockery of Christ. And our suffering, whether in this life or in the afterlife, is in no way helping to satisfy the wrath of God. It is in no way making us more acceptable before a righteous and holy God. That is solely the place of the blood of Christ, Christ's death on Calvary, his perfect redemptive death that enables sinners to enter into heaven. Is that not correct, that there is nothing that we can experience or do, whether good or bad, that can enable us to enter into heaven?
Yes, what you say is absolutely right. The important thing to bear in mind is this always, that no one will enter into heaven unless they are clothed with a perfect righteousness. We must be clothed with a perfect righteousness. Now, that perfect righteousness is something we cannot produce. And even supposing we were 99% righteous, it would not be sufficient to get us into heaven. We must have a 100% righteousness. And the only way in which we can have that as sinners is that Christ's righteousness should be imputed to us. And the righteousness of Christ is 100% perfect. He is both God and man, and he took his human nature in a miraculous way through the Virgin, so that he would have a virgin birth with a human nature undefiled by sin. And had Christ had two parents, as we all do, the sin of Adam would have been imputed to Christ, and he would have been born a sinner as we are. So he had to have a miraculous birth so he could be our Savior, with a perfect divine nature as God and a perfect human nature without the imputation to it of Adam's sin. Now, because Christ is absolutely perfect, his obedience to God in keeping the moral law, the Ten Commandments, was perfect, and his sufferings upon the cross was of such infinite value, dying for us, that he is able to wipe out the debt which we owe to God because of our sins, and he can clothe us with the robe of his righteousness as the eternal Son of God. We contribute nothing whatever to this process except only faith. We must believe in Jesus and what the Bible teaches about his death, that he died for sinners like us. But we contribute absolutely nothing. And when we enter into a state of death, there's no such place mentioned in the Bible as purgatory. That is something the Bible does not speak about because it does not exist. There's a heaven for the righteous, a hell for the wicked, and there's no intermediate place like that whatsoever. So it's essential to understand if we are to go to heaven, we must get right with God now in this life, because if we die and go to anywhere else but to heaven, then we shall be placed with the wicked in eternal damnation. And that is clearly the teaching of the Bible.
Now, before, in the earlier part of the program, in the very beginning, you mentioned a book. When you were going through a list of books on justification, you mentioned one titled The Great Exchange, and that is actually a very central theme to what we're talking about here, is it not? Because not only is Christ's righteousness imputed to us, our wickedness, our sins, are imputed to him. Isn't that true?
Yes, it is. Our sins are imputed to him. That's right. And he was reckoned to be responsible for the sins of his people who would believe in him. And he was punished, not for any sin of his own, for he had none. He was the one who took the responsibility for the sins of his people who would believe in him. And Christ died a death under the wrath and judgment of God for our sins. That's why he died, and his soul went into a state of death for those 3 days. But as soon as our Lord died, immediately he died, he paid the full price for the sins of all his people who would believe in him. So his perfect life and his atoning death are both absolutely essential to the justification of poor sinners like us. And our duty then is to believe what Christ has done and to cast ourselves at his feet and trust in him, because he promises, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen. And some people might wrongly think that the pain, the physical suffering at the hands of wicked men who tortured and executed Christ, that this is what specifically redeems us, but it's actually much more than that, isn't it? Most importantly, the propitiatory sacrifice of Christ that involves the Father pouring his wrath on his own Son, the wrath that we deserved.
Yes, it is. That's right. It is the imputation to Christ of the guilt and sin of all believers of all ages of the history of the world, from the beginning to the end. The guilt of all those believers from the beginning of time to the end of time has been imputed to Christ when he was in this world and on the cross, and he paid the price as the God-man, which is of infinite value. He atoned for all the sins of those whose sins were imputed to him, and he has made a reconciliation with God for all those who now are believers in Christ. That's the way to look at it.
Amen. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, and Bobby says, when we say that we are justified by faith, do we not need to take great caution when we tell this to people, because very often Christians have the wrong concept of what that means? They believe that they are actually helping to save themselves by offering to God a faith that comes intrinsically from them that pleases God. In other words, through their unfettered free will, they have come to make the right decision and follow Christ, and therefore that is the final switch that seems to be turned on in order to determine the eternal destiny of the lost person. But this is not really what you're talking about. Is not faith itself, as we read in Ephesians, a gift from God, so we can't even boast of it, as even the Apostle Paul said, under divine inspiration?
Yes, absolutely correct. The fact of the matter is that faith is the gift of God, and no man has true faith until he or she has been born again, because no man has faith before he or she has been born again of the Holy Spirit. The new birth is the act of God which enables the soul of the sinner to trust in Christ. So there is this order in the application of salvation to the souls of men and women. First, we must be born again, and as soon as we are born again, immediately we shall believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, it's possible for someone to stand up and say, I believe in Christ. But that means nothing until there is evidence in the life and behavior of that person that their life is transformed and changed as a result of a new birth experience. So the new birth experience is what brings the soul of the sinner to trust truly in Christ. There is such a thing, of course, as worthless faith, as James talks about in his epistle. And worthless faith is the faith which springs out of the action of man to make himself good or to give himself some sort of faith. But real, genuine, biblical faith is the result of the new birth, where Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the new birth comes first, and true, genuine, saving faith is the fruit of that new birth experience.
Amen. In fact, we have... Oh, by the way, thank you, Bobby, for your question. You also are getting a free copy of the book that we are discussing, Finding Peace with God by Morris Roberts, Compliments of Banner of Truth, and Compliments of CVBBS.com. So please give us your full mailing address there in Hartsdale, New York. We have a listener who is asking something that really involves something that you were just saying now. We have Bibi in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who says that we constantly hear from the Roman Catholic friends that if you do not believe that works are involved in our salvation, that necessitates you believe that one can live like Satan himself unrepentantly, perhaps even for decades, and that person will still enter heaven when he dies, because he at one time had faith that saved him. And since we who are Reformed do not believe a truly born-again individual can lose their salvation, that means that we can live unrepentantly and as wickedly as we please and still be accepted by God on the day we die. But this is not what Reformed people have historically believed. And if you can explain how believing in justification by faith alone does not require that you believe in licentiousness being acceptable to God.
There are three dimensions we could mention about justification, and they're all very, very important. we are justified meritoriously. That means the worth and the merit of our justification comes from Christ's life and death. So the merit of justification is entirely dependent upon Christ's perfect life and atoning death. Now, secondly, there is the means whereby the sinner receives this justification. And the means whereby any sinner receives justification from Christ is by faith alone, in Christ alone. But then, and here's the third point, most relevant to the question, the sinner is justified declaratively by his good works. In other words, what I'm saying there is, how do we know if a sinner has truly believed in Christ? He may say he does, but the evidence of a person's truly believing in Christ can only be gathered from a person's changed life. And a person who has a changed life loves God and loves the things of God. He's not perfect, but he sincerely desires to commit himself to God and to live a life of obedience to God as long as he's in this world. So that's the third point here. If a person says, oh, I don't mind how I live, get drunk, and commit all the sins you like, I believe in Christ, what he's saying there is he has no idea what true faith is, because genuine faith always works together with obedience to God. When a person is born again, their supreme desire is to live to the glory of God in an obedient life. And if a person shows no attempt at an obedient life, but lives in drunkenness and wickedness, they are simply saying they have no true faith at all.
Well, thank you, B.B. You've also won a free copy of the book, Finding Peace with God, and that is Compliments of Banner of Truth and cvbbs.com. Please give us your full mailing address so that can be shipped out to you at no charge to you. We're going to our elongated break right now. This is a longer break than normal because it's required of us by Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, because they air their own commercials and public service announcements during this longer than normal break. So please be patient with us. Please write down questions for Morris Roberts during this break and also write down the information provided by our advertisers. Our email address, if you'd care to join the others waiting to have their questions asked and answered, is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be back with Morris Roberts and Finding Peace with God right after these messages from our sponsors.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com as well at 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. And please mention Chris Ironson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you call. You can only connect with them by phone Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. when they man that phone line. Otherwise, you can order online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year at cvbbs.com, cvbbs.com. And before we – oh, I forgot to mention, if you mention Chris Ironson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you purchase at least $50 worth of merchandise, you are going to get absolutely free of charge – a book by Wayne Mack, and that is titled Anger and Stress Management, God's Way. That's a publication of P&R Publishing, Presbyterian and Reformed Publishing. So you'll get that for free, and you'll also get free shipping on your order of $50 or more if you mention Chris Ironson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we just have a few important announcements as far as special events that are coming up. First of all, August 2nd through the 4th, we have the Fellowship Conference New England returning to the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine. And the speakers, I should say, at this important conference are Pastor Tim Conway, Pastor Mac Tomlinson, Pastor Jesse Barrington, and Pastor Nate Pickowitz. These are all fine men of God, excellent communicators of truth, powerful proclaimers of the gospel. They have all been on my radio program, some of them even many times, like my dear friend Pastor Mac Tomlinson. If you would like to be there at the Fellowship Conference New England, August 2nd through the 4th in Portland, Maine, go to fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. Then the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals is having their annual Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology, November 9th and the 10th at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. The theme is the glory of the cross, and the speakers include David Garner, Ray Ortland, Richard Phillips, Timothy Gibson, and Carlton Wynn. If you would like to register for the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, click on events, and then scroll down to the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. Then coming up in January of 2019, the G3 Conference returns to College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta, at the Georgia International Convention Center. The G3 Conference stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. It is a Reformed conference, and I am looking forward to being there, manning an exhibitor's booth for the third time, for the third year in a row at the G3 Conference. I hope you join me there. And I hope you join me not only as an attendee, I hope you join me with your own exhibitor's booth if you have a ministry or business that you would like to have promoted in, amongst the crowd of between 4,000 and 5,000 people that are expected to be there at the G3 Conference. The theme this January is The Mission of God, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. And the speakers include Paul Washer, John Piper, Stephen Lawson, Vody Baucom, Conrad Mbewe, Tim Challies, Phil Johnson, who's the executive director of John MacArthur's ministry, Grace to You, Josh Bice, who's the founder of the G3 Conference, Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio, Stephen J. Nichols, who is the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late Dr. R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, and many, many more are on that lineup. If you'd like to join me there at the G3 Conference, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Please tell all of these organizations, if you contact them, that you heard about them and their events from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, if you love this show and you do not want it to disappear from the airwaves, please donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as much as you can and as often as you can, by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or a credit card. Please never, ever, ever siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio either. Providing for your church and providing for your family are two commands of God. Providing for my show is not a command of God, obviously. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please, please join us. Join our family of supporters by donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. And if you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe, then send us an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And by the way, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. I can help you find a church. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I have already helped a number of my listeners find good, faithful churches in their area. So send me an email if you have a hard time finding a church to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And put in the subject line, I need a church. That is also the email address where you can ask a question of Morris Roberts. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Dr. Roberts, Reverend Roberts, I should say, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm with you, yes.
Oh, thank thanks be to God for his grace upon us that we didn't have a technical issue again.
Indeed.
We have a listener in the United Kingdom who is anonymous, and this listener says, I am accustomed to people explaining justification as just as if you never sinned. Somehow that phrase never sat comfortably with me. I always felt there was a lot more to it than that. As I studied myself, I read that in justification, God the righteous judge pronounces us acquitted of the charge. According to the Oxford Dictionary, to acquit means to free someone from a criminal charge by verdict of not guilty. It does not mean, nor does he say, we are innocent because we are not. We are not condemned, but declared to be acceptable to God. What are your thoughts on that, please? Just as if we never sinned. Yeah, I've heard that before as well, but is that an appropriate way of looking at justification?
Well, I suppose the only merit it has is that it is very easy for someone to remember that. It's got a similarity to the word justification, doesn't it? But it doesn't have the merit of being a clear definition. The best definition is that justification is an act of God's free grace in which he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in his own sight only for the righteousness of Christ, which is imputed to us and which is received on our part by faith alone. Now, that's an accurate definition of what justification is, and I think I would leave that other one you referred to in the dustbin because it's not good enough, and it's such a serious subject. We're not really talking about an amusing subject. Justification is the most serious subject on earth. To be right with God, to be right with God is absolutely the most important thing in life. So we can't afford to have cheap and poor and flimsy definitions. So I would say, don't go by the just as you are one that you were quoting earlier on. Go by a much more accurate one. The Westminster Confession of Faith and the Catechisms, they provide excellent definitions of justification. I do recommend those for people to take and read and learn.
Amen. Well, Anonymous, I understand that you know someone here in the United States that can get you this booklet that you've won, because we don't ship out the books to winners who live overseas, or should I say to the listeners that live overseas, because of the great expense that CVBBS.com will accumulate by sending out books overseas every week. So we only reserve these for United States listeners, and we thank you for providing us with someone who lives here in the United States who will get the booklet to you. I want to get to some more of the chapters in this booklet before we run out of time, because this is for a brief book, as I said earlier, this is really a wealth of information. If you could tell us more about God's gift of righteousness, because I think that this is something that we have to keep remembering, that salvation is completely a gift, and just saying that is not enough. You have to really believe and understand what that means, because there are many people outside of the Reformed faith who will say things like salvation is a gift and so on, but they really, when they explain themselves, you very often are hearing that they are in some way, even if unconsciously, taking some of the credit for their salvation. But this is totally a gift, isn't it?
Yes, we must emphasize that above everything else, that if we truly wish to be justified, we must set aside all thought of doing anything to bring about our own justification. We must realize that Jesus Christ is both God and man in two distinct natures and yet one person, and therefore is the God-man. If he had not taken human nature, he could not have died on the cross for us. That's why he took the human nature. He both lived a perfect life for 33 years and completely fulfilled the Ten Commandments on our behalf as sinners. And then he paid the price for our sins by dying on the cross, being under the curse and damnation of his Heavenly Father as one responsible for the sins of his people. So there must never be any thought whatsoever in our minds, either of contributing by our own good works to what Christ has done, or by adding anything which comes from other saints or Virgin Mary or anything like that. Our faith must be in Christ as the eternal Son of God, the Savior of the world, who died for sinners. And we must realize, too, that if we do not believe in Christ, we shall perish eternally in eternal darkness and in the fire of God's wrath and curse. So this is extremely serious, the most important issue in life, and we should therefore not be surprised if our conscience tells us we must not go on any longer without getting down on our knees and crying out to God to give us grace to believe in Christ. Because of ourselves, we can't believe. Faith is the gift of God, and yet anyone who sincerely desires to believe in Christ and truly wishes to be reconciled to God by faith in Christ, God promises he will give them the ability to believe. And faith is indeed the gift of God. So the offer is to us all. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. And that's the promise of God.
Amen. Now, we already addressed quite a lot about salvation by faith alone, but there's one thing that I wanted to add to it in this discussion, is that there are ministries, parachurch ministries, Christian organizations that in their efforts to be, in their minds, more loving and kind and acceptable to those that may disagree on certain points of theology that they very wrongly think are of secondary or tertiary importance. But they, I have known and seen organizations that have actually, in their statement of faith, in order to be welcoming to Roman Catholic participants, they, in their statement of faith, will remove the word alone, and they think that it is acceptable, and they are quite content with having in their mission statement that they believe in salvation by faith. But this is a very dangerous thin ice to be treading on, isn't it, when you start playing fast and loose by removing the word alone, because really the word alone is just as important as the word faith, isn't it?
Absolutely right. And that's how in Latin the great reformers used to say sola fide, which is the Latin for by faith alone. They strongly emphasize that, sola fide, by faith alone. Because as soon as a sinner begins to think of adding something of his own merit to Christ, immediately he closes the door on his own justification. There's no way any sinner will ever be justified if he thinks he's going to add something to what Christ has done. It's faith alone in Christ alone, and we can't stress that too much. It's no kindness to redefine the doctrine of justification. It is simply to shut the door on the poor sinner and to confuse him into thinking he can be saved by both Christ and something he does himself. That is not true. We must make it clear. We can only be saved by faith in Christ and his finished work on the cross, dying for sinners like us. Add nothing whatsoever to it. Faith and faith alone.
Amen. This is something that you cover in this booklet that is disputed greatly between evangelical Protestants and Roman Catholics. It's in regard to the teaching on justification in the early church. There seems to be this understanding that is promoted by Roman Catholics that justification by faith alone is an invention of Martin Luther and the Reformers, that it never existed within Christendom for centuries, other than perhaps by a few heretics here and there. But they would say that it is nearly absent from any gospel presentation or creed or any confession of the scriptural gospel until the 16th century, but this is a myth, and it's actually a lie, isn't it?
quite correct. The fact is that there are quotations which can be gathered, which can be gathered from the Church Fathers, which show that that was the doctrine of justification prior to the coming of the Middle Ages. The doctrine of justification underwent a terrible alteration for the worse during the Middle Ages, because people departed from the teaching of the Word of God, the Bible. But there are easy quotations which we can find from the Church Fathers. Perhaps I might just give one or two as indications as to what are to be found in the early Church Fathers. Take Irenaeus, one of the Church Fathers. He says, "But now, without the law," that's the moral law, "the righteousness of God is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, for the just shall live by faith." And the just shall live by faith is exactly the doctrine of the Reformation. That's Irenaeus' teaching. We can come on to Cyprian, another of these early church fathers. He said, "If Abraham believed in God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, then each one who believes in God and lives by faith is found to be a righteous person." You see what he's saying there is? Abraham was justified by faith, and that is the pattern for everyone who is justified by faith. And you notice here there's no reference whatsoever to the question of works or human merit. Take Athanasius. Athanasius puts it like this: "Not by our works, but by faith, a man is justified, as was Abraham." Now, I could give you more of these quotations, but just give you one more of the several that I could give you, which I have put in my little book about justification. I like very much the one by Jerome. He was the one who translated the Bible into Latin, which has been extensively used in the Roman Catholic Church. So he would be greatly respected in Roman Catholic circles. The Vulgate translation of the Bible, as we call it, was done by Jerome, and this was Jerome's doctrine. He said this, I'm quoting him, "When an ungodly man is converted, God justifies him through faith alone, not on account of good works, which he possessed not. Otherwise, on account of his ungodly deeds, he ought to have been punished." So notice that he says, when an ungodly man is converted, God justifies him through faith alone, not on account of good works. And you get the same teaching in Chrysostom, one of the church fathers, and you get it in the great Augustine, who was perhaps the supreme, the great theologian of the early church. Augustine, I'll finish with this one of the quotations. "All who are justified through Christ are righteous, not in themselves, but in him." And I give these quotations to show that the early church taught justification by faith alone, which is the biblical teaching of the New Testament and the apostles of the New Testament. And it was only during the Middle Ages that that was distorted, but it was recovered. The doctrine was recovered correctly by Martin Luther and John Calvin and the Reformers.
By the way, I'm sure you wouldn't mind if I plug a book, especially since it was published by Banner of Truth, but an excellent book that involves the early church is The Church of Rome at the Bar of History, and written by Bill Webster, William Webster. And
excellent. Yes, please do recommend it.
Yes, and it shows the novelty of many of the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church that are in that militate against what the Scriptures teach, and even militate against what the Church Fathers teach. And William Webster has also other books that involve the patristic evidence of what the Fathers believed in regard to the Gospel and other things, and they have much more in common with the Reformers than many people would believe. Now, isn't it right that one of the reasons that the Reformation was enabled to spread, obviously, first and foremost, by the grace of God, but humanly speaking, is that not only did they refer to the scriptures, but they also did refer to the patristic evidence for what they believed, did they not?
They certainly did, yes. And it was the view of the early church that we're justified by faith alone in Christ alone, and Christ has done everything necessary. We need to add nothing to it. And it was a terrible mistake which crept into the church and became almost universal in the medieval church that we must either have baptism or we must have help from the saints and the Virgin Mary. And all of these additions destroy the doctrine of justification. We mustn't add anything to the doctrine of justification, which is by faith alone in Christ alone, full stop.
Amen. Well, we're going to our final break right now. It's going to be briefer than the last one, so don't lose heart. We will be back very soon, and please, if you have any questions that you'd like to ask, now is the time to do it, because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA, and please only remain anonymous. If your question involves a personal and private matter, don't go away. God willing, we will be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe by God's grace that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, that's ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, or even on SermonAudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read.
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and that was the voice of Bill Shishko, formerly the pastor of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Franklin Square, which happens to be the church where I first heard our guest, Morris Roberts. And I know that you have a great fondness for Bill Shishko, as do I.
Yes, most certainly.
And so please listen as often as you can to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You can hear that globally on the Internet via live streaming at WLIE540AM.com. And you can also hear it on the AM dial on the radio, 540 AM in the New York tri-state area, and even parts of Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts every Saturday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. We are now back to the final half hour of our program today with Morris Roberts on the subject, Finding Peace with God, Justification Explained. And if you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Well, you have a chapter, Errors and Falsehoods to be Avoided. Now, I'm sure that we have already addressed some of them, but if you could add anything to that subject that you'd like to discuss now.
Well, there are so many errors that people can add indeed to the doctrines of the Word of God, but tradition is one of the mistakes that many people make. They are attached to the idea that churches have traditions, and they make the authority of tradition to become more important than the authority of the Word of God. And this is what Christ warns against. He explicitly warns the people of his day, and therefore warns us also, to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's in Matthew chapter 16. The leaven means the false teaching, the error, the confused teaching. So the leaven of the Pharisees was they added to the Bible, and the leaven of the Sadducees was they subtracted from the Bible. And the Bible warns very severely at the end in chapter 22 of Revelation, if any man will add to these things in the Bible, God will add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And he goes on to say, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, Revelation 22. So one thing we must never do is we must not add to the Bible or take from the Bible. If we do that, then these judgments will be waiting for us in the coming day, a terrible day.
We have a listener in Clifton, New Jersey, named Joey, who says, "Dear Reverend Roberts, can you explain in John chapter 6, verses 28 through 29, why Christ uses the language of works in regard to faith?" Quoting the English Standard Version, "Then they said to him, 'What must we do to be doing the works of God?' Jesus answered them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.'" And that's, again, John chapter 6, verse 28 through 29.
Right. Well, what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing there is he is saying what is the only way whereby we may be justified. We must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is simply another way of defining faith. He is there defining faith in a rather specialized way. This is the work that we are to do. We are to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to define faith as a work, then that's legitimate. But of course, when people usually talk about our works, they mean our good deeds, our prayers, our fastings, our going into a monastery, our worshiping the Virgin Mary, our being baptized, our taking the Lord's Supper. So as long as you understand that Christ there means here is the one and only thing we must do, it is to believe in him and in his finished work on the cross, then all is well. But it's just that Christ words it in a manner which you could misunderstand if you weren't careful enough. But we must always define what the Bible says by reference to other passages in the Bible. And when you take the other passages in the Bible, it's perfectly clear that Jesus is saying what Paul and Peter and the others are saying is that we are justified by faith alone. And that's the only legitimate work whereby we should be justified, by faith alone.
Thank you, Joey. Give us your full mailing address in Clifton, New Jersey, because you have also won a free copy of Finding Peace with God, thanks to our friends at the Banner of Truth, and also thanks to our friends at CVBBS.com, who will be shipping that out to you. Let's see here. Well, we have another chapter in your booklet, The Classic Statement. What is the classic statement?
Right. The classic statement is what really you could say is comes from the Westminster Confession of Faith. That is the wonderful teaching. And the Westminster Confession of Faith is something which comes from the golden age of theology in Britain. The Reformers laid the foundation of biblical doctrine, but then it took two or three generations for it to mature, and you could say that the maturest time in the history of the development of theology in the UK was in the 1620s and 30s. And 40s, that was the golden age, that period. And it was in the 1640s that these wonderful documents called the Westminster Confession of Faith and the Catechisms were put together. Brilliant divines, they were called Westminster divines. They were mainly English, but there were also some Scotsmen there too, men of profound spirituality. And so justification they defined as God's imputing the obedience and satisfaction of Christ to somebody. And imputing means there's no work accompanying it which merits it or deserves it, but it is an imputation of something, meaning God's reckoning by his sheer grace to the person who exercises faith. So we're talking then about that period of church history when the Reformation had reached its maturity. Sometimes referred to it as a second Reformation, and therefore we must always be careful to make sure that we do define justification in a way which is fully consistent with the teaching of the Word of God.
Praise God. Yes, and of course, those of us who are Reformed Baptists are 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith is nearly identical to the Westminster Confession.
Oh, it is. Yes.
By design, and also the Savoy Declaration was made use of in regard to the developing of the 1689. This is an issue that there's a lot of confusion over this next issue. A healthy fear of God. There are professing Christians that boast that we should never be afraid of God, and there are others on the other extreme that want to put their congregations in a constant state of terror, always thinking that God is just waiting with a raised fist to smash them with some act of chastisement or punishment. And of course, you even have some who believe that a genuinely born-again person can lose their salvation. And of course, there are different reasons that different churches and individuals give for how a person in their minds could be damned after they were truly born again. But what are you specifically talking about when you speak of a healthy fear of God?
Yes, a healthy fear of God is love for God, which so conditions our mind, our affections, our emotions, our conscience, that we make it our duty to live our life in all aspects of it in obedience to the revealed will of God in Holy Scripture. Putting that very simply, we can talk about the moral law, the Ten Commandments. Now, let's be clear, we are not saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. We are saved by faith alone, as we've said many times, in Christ alone. But when a person is born again, when they are justified, then the question arises, what is the rule of life whereby we must order our conduct and our behavior? And the answer which is given by the Bible is what Christ said. Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. And then he puts it another way. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so the Apostle Paul makes it very clear, too, that when we are born again, our duty is to keep the Ten Commandments as the rule of life. Now, it is in that way, therefore, that a person's life reflects a genuine, sincere love for God's person and God's ways. So that's a simple way of looking at it, I believe, in the light of your question.
Yes, and even a child, if there is a healthy and biblical relationship between parent and child, that child should have a healthy fear of his own parents. That doesn't mean that he is in a constant state of terror. If he is in a constant state of terror, there's something greatly disturbingly wrong with the parental process there. But that does not diminish the love and mercy and kindness and goodness of a parent just because the child may have a healthy fear of that parent.
No, indeed, perfectly true. And indeed, love for God must be reflected in a healthy fear of God. The two things go together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a healthy love for God is always manifested by a genuine fear of displeasing God. Our fear is in case we do something which displeases him or dishonors him. We are afraid to bring dishonor upon him or shame upon his cause, because if we live lives which are inconsistent with our profession of faith, the consequence could very well be that we offend the world, and the world thinks of Christianity with contempt and disgust. So if we love God, we want to honor him as much as we can, which involves obedience to his revealed will.
Well, you have a chapter titled Justification, the Way to Glory, if you could explain further.
Yes, I do. Well, justification is not the final stage of the Christian's redemption or salvation. There are stages, and these stages are told very clearly to us in the Bible. Justification is being put right with God in this life, but it is preparation for being put right perfectly and eternally. Justification means that the one who is a true believer in Christ has the righteousness of Christ imputed to him. God is no longer angry with him. God forgives all his sins. That person is now ready for death, because when he dies, he will go to glory. But that's not the end of everything. What will happen is this: when the believer enters into a state of death as a believer, he enters immediately into the state of glory. The intermediate state is between death and judgment, and the final stage is between judgment and all that happens thereafter. So when a believer comes to a state of death, he immediately enters into glory, and that is the perfect happiness and the thing we should all be aiming after, to come to a condition in which we see God in all his majesty. Imagine that, to live in the presence of God and to see him in all his majesty, to have the love of Christ poured upon our soul, Christ treating us as his own beloved brothers and sisters, to all eternity. The angels themselves will be less privileged than we are as Christians in glory, because they are not the sons of God as we are as Christians. So there's no doubt about it. Justification is what we need in this life. But when we die and leave this world, and after the resurrection day, there's the final condition of eternal glorification. And that is the last stage of this wonderful process of God's redemption.
Amen. Will you offer suggestions for further reading in the booklet? If you could explain what you would recommend to our listeners.
Yes, John Owen is one of the great Puritans, and I would recommend that they should read John Owen on the doctrine of justification. And I would recommend also they should read James Buchanan, The Doctrine of Justification as Banner of Truth. Philip Eveson has a book, The Great Exchange. R.C. Sproul has Faith Alone, Baker Books. William Cunningham, Historical Theology, Banner of Truth, and Thomas Goodwin's Justifying Faith, all those are Banner of Truth. So all of these are just a small number of the available books on the subject of justification. But we must make sure the books we read are faithful to the great confessions and faithful above all to the Word of God.
Amen. And I have one of my own that I'd like to recommend. Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. He is a Reformed Baptist and a confessionally Reformed Christian. He wrote an excellent book called The God Who Justifies that is published by Baker Books. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. And we have an anonymous listener, from New York, who says that I have heard differences of opinion expressed as to whether we should view our Arminian friends as lost or as brothers in Christ. I am somewhat disturbed by some of my Reformed brethren, and I believe that they are a minority, who would say that all Arminians are lost. After all, I don't see the great heroes of the faith making such claims, including Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and even George Whitfield, who had a great, ongoing, close friendship with John Wesley, even though they had very strong disagreements on predestination and other issues that divide Calvinists from Arminians. What is your guest's opinion as to how serious is the heresy or the errors of Arminianism?
My view is that it is perfectly possible for an Arminian to be converted and on his way to glory. The quotations are very interesting, yes. Whitfield and Wesley, that is a very valid way of expressing it. I'm sure that Spurgeon never for a moment would accuse every Arminian of not being on the way to glory. Arminianism is, in my respectful view, a failure to understand clearly the whole substance of the doctrine of the Bible. But it is possible that a person who doesn't see the whole substance of the teaching of the Bible can be right on the main things. If I may be personal for a moment, I, when I was first converted about 60-odd years ago, I was an Arminian for some years, simply because I hadn't studied enough theology, but I was just as saved as though I was a thoroughbred Calvinist. So I think it's going far too far to say that a person who's an Arminian cannot be justified and cannot be saved. I do not share that view at all.
Amen. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And we have Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who says, for the life of me, I cannot reconcile Martin Luther's belief in justification by faith alone and yet simultaneously believing in baptismal regeneration. How are we to look at Luther as a figure from history? Is he our brother? Are our friends who are from the conservative Bible-believing Lutheran denominations, such as the Missouri Synod and Wisconsin Synod and others, are they our brothers in Christ?
I got the impression that it was being said that Luther believed in baptismal regeneration.
Yes, that's what the listener said, yeah.
Oh, well, I would need to double-check that. I don't think I realize that that is what he said. If that is what he taught, I'm learning something I didn't hear before. No, I don't believe that that is what Martin Luther thought. I believe he had some points which he wasn't strong enough and clear enough on, but on the doctrine of justification, he was absolutely right. And I don't think the thing that's been alleged there is correct.
Well, for the sake of argument, can somebody believe in something, in your opinion, that is that seriously wrong and still have enough of the gospel that they will be... they'll meet us in heaven one day? I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think Augustine may have believed in baptismal regeneration, even though he had a lot in common with us because, in fact, he was a hero of John Calvin.
People may have serious errors. That is true. It's very hard to define which errors are so fatally serious and which are not. Baptismal regeneration is a very serious error, certainly. Whether Augustine had that view or not, I would need to be made clear on. But it is possible for a Christian to go astray on some things and to be misled on some things, and many people are. But that's not to say they couldn't truly have their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have met Roman Catholics who, I believe, probably are born again. It's just that they've been brought up in the Catholic religion, and by the grace of God, they've come to adopt a true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they believe in his righteousness, and they have not been given a correct theology, but in their heart of hearts, they truly do believe in Christ and truly love him. And such people, of course, will be saved.
Amen. Thank God for his mercy. Before we go, I want our listeners to be somewhat more informed about some of the ministries that you have participated in for many years. I know that you were at one time editor of the Banner of Truth magazine. If you could let our listeners know something about that magazine.
Yes, the Banner of Truth magazine began, I think, in the 1950s. It was done by the Reverend Ian Murray, who is still living, Ian H. Murray. And Ian Murray was the one of the ones who started the work of the Banner of Truth, which has done a tremendous work in giving excellent books to people all over the world in different languages, too. One of the influences in the Banner of Truth magazine at that time was the presence of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones in London, who was a world-famous and outstanding preacher, of course, and thoroughly reformed man. So the books, the magazines have been brought out, I think, just about every month since then. There have been a number of editors. Ian Murray was the first. I was one of those that came later. And thankfully, we still have the magazine going every month, as it used to do, and very well received by different parts of the world.
And some of the other books that you have written, if you could just give us a summary of what these books involve. You have, first of all, The Thought of God, if you could explain a little bit about that book.
It's not so easy to summarize that, because these books that I wrote originated as articles in the Banner of Truth magazine, of which I was then the editor. And so what happened was, after a year or two of writing these editorials, they were put together into a book form. what I can say about them is that they are all dealing with experimental, practical Christian living. It is an attempt, really, to say what the Puritans did in their generation, to try to apply the Word of God to various aspects of one's home life or one's work life, one's fears, one's doubts, one's uncertainties, to try to be practical, experimental, and doctrinal at one and the same time. So all the books whose titles you mentioned there, they're all doing that same thing, dealing, of course, with very different subjects, but all dealing with it from a practical, experimental point of view.
Yes, I know that our friend Dr. Joel Beakey is very fond of introducing and proclaiming experiential or experimental Calvinism to
yes.
his listeners. And basically yes. that is in contrast to dead orthodoxy, is it not? Where
absolutely.
Where people would just have a said faith or a an academic faith or something that they believe mentally, but it's not really vibrant and living in their lives.
And if I may just for a moment say this, I was shocked to discover in an American magazine recently that it is alleged that a lot of professing Reformed Christians actually watch naughty things on television. And true godliness requires that we must never allow ourselves to watch anything on television or read anything in books which is spiritually or morally wrong, because to do so, of course, is to fill our minds with ideas which are very God-dishonoring. So the attempt that I made in the books that you quoted and similar books was really to try to encourage the Christian to live the godly life. That sanctification as well as justification is extremely important.
Amen. And so if anybody wants to get a hold of some of the other books that Reverend Roberts has written, let me tell you the mention the website of the Banner of Truth. That's banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, and some of those other booklets are listed there. And, of course, also, we just mentioned Dr. Joel Beakey a few moments ago. His publishing ministry, Reformation Heritage Books, has published a booklet that we already addressed on the air in a previous interview, our first interview with Morris Roberts, How Do I Develop Heavenly Mindedness and Spiritual Conversation? And that's available from heritagebooks.org, heritagebooks.org. And you can also get everything that Morris Roberts has written from cvbbs.com. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. And they have a very huge inventory of books by Banner of Truth and by Reformation Heritage Books and by Solid Ground Christian Books and all of the finest of Reformed publishers. I would like you now, Reverend Roberts, to just summarize what you most want etched on the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we go off the air.
To make it the number one duty in life, to sit down and ask ourselves, are we right with God? If suddenly I take ill with a heart attack or a stroke or whatever, or an accident on the road, am I right with God? Will I be sure to go to heaven? Nothing can possibly be more serious than that we should be right with God. And if we are not sure about it, and we're unclear as to whether we're right with God or not, then to make this our number one priority, to turn to the Bible and to the best teaching, like the Westminster Confession of Faith and Catechisms, to get a study of the doctrine of justification, and to give ourselves no rest, but seeking with all our heart, praying to God for it, that he'll give us the grace both to trust in Christ and be justified, and with that to give us the assurance of being justified, because it's possible to be justified and not to be assured of it, but we need to be both justified and also assured. I would say make that number one priority in life.
Praise God. Amen. Well, I wanted to also let our listeners know that if you want more information about the denomination to which our guest belongs, the Free Church of Scotland Continuing, you can go to freechurchcontinuing.org, freechurchcontinuing.org. And I also want to remind our listeners that on Monday we have John Fesco, J.V. Fesco, returning to the program, and he is going to be discussing his book, Reforming Apologetics, Retrieving the Classic Reformed Approach to Defending the Faith. That's coming up this Monday on the 30th of July, God willing. I hope that you all have a very safe, happy, and blessed weekend and Lord's Day. I want to thank you so much, Reverend Roberts, for being such a wonderful guest for the second time on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I look forward to you returning many times in the future, as often as God will permit, as long as you are enjoying yourself and desirous of returning. I hope that you come back often.
Thank you, sir. I'm very honored by what you say. I trust by God's grace I will help again at some point in the future. Thank you.
Great. Well, I hope that you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.